Mr. Galley, reel 5. I think you've discovered the actual date that you joined, Mr. Galley. Now, whilst we're at Willington, and before we move on, we touched upon the fact that you'd got a bayonet. Did you do bayonet drill, bayonet training?
Yes, yes.
What did that entail?
The bayonet out and put the bayonet onto the rifle. And then we did bayonet training, which was two sets of straw along where the points were, left breast, right breast, the groin, left side, right side, stomach. There's a point, which is front of the table, the object, and move slowly forward and make the foot part of the left breast, right breast, stomach, just like that. Stay like that on the command with more, which pull the bait out. We did this for about 3 or 4 times. And then we look forward with it. The enemy did not like that when he was clean. So they got him yell at the top of the boat, charge the body slow, make a point to where other leads took the side, you had to do it. Sometimes the beard went in up, something compared to that. But that was the element of their team. The enemy are all fighting the cold clear. But I thought I was there, they weren't even in the fight. So
did you do a lot of bayonet training? Was it very heavily emphasized?
We go from the athletic school course, which would be about 100 yards long. And each individual, one year. He took the use of give you a the way you went. So we climb over the wall, jump over the ditch, maybe some old barbed wire, jump over the barbed wire, and then you would put the building kind of on the side of what we call the top of the building. Then make it funny, put it in our original room, not expecting to be in a thing, nothing more.
Did you feel, in the light of your experience later on, that it was overdone?
I think it was. Really, because I would say that being all right for 1914, maybe 1990, the type of warfare that we were familiar with later on, but really not for later on, because we fought a battle at Corina. In which the Japanese were no more than 30 yards away. And it is, well, it is all in there. It is a larger battle. It was the nearest approach to a World War I battle. So actually, the thing that we had should have been a good thing because it's a great game to have hand to hand fighting.
Which we'll come across later, of course.
We'll also learn how to make the butt stroke. Which is to turn the rifle around, leave the book, hit the opponent on the jaw, or wherever you want, so he can put them out. That was important to do, and I missed the problem.
If the bayonet got jammed in the rib cage or the bone cage, how did you get it out? Were you taught this?
You're supposed to make a point of all your three reaches, of course. when the movement here and push it, actually would improve on what they expect. And if the body was on the bottom, what you were supposed to do then was if you put on the body, draw your arms further down the rifle and pull it out. And that's I'm going to go off the fire now, so I can't see what it goes.
Did you do any gas precautions training?
Gas. Gas. I never did any gas training until after I was in Marseille. In fact, the only gas training I had on was 24 hours before I left to go to France. That's the only thing. We were equipped, we only had to do the gas training.
Was part of the initial introduction into the battalion, into the training, into the regiment, did you have to, or did they teach you anything about the traditions of the Durham Light Infantry?
Oh, yes. I'll start all the stories of the Durham Light Infantry way back with the announcement about a couple of people that I was there at the Durham 10 Battalion. I was there at the door here, the 2nd Battalion being known as the, I think it's 106 Bombay Military Light Infantry, if I remember my history right. Because the 2nd Battalion had served many years in the between the wars. And I think it was originally formed as the 106th Bombay Military Light Infantry. And then we got a history of the whole regiment, about the number of battalions that served in the First World War. Different things. I was also on my arm twisted to join the Durham Infantry by a sergeant or a corporal or someone who came around and said, "You want to come in this?" So we got a card signed by Colonel Harry Wall as a member of the Durham Infantry, so it was to accept me as a vice member. Well, that's still not important more. I actually have that card. And great joy also was when we were told about the Durham Light Infantry War and Queen and Joe Master. And we were given permission. I think it was about 2 years or something like that. And I had to call him on this. And it was a good one about the week to do this. I think the story I was told there is a private joke with 7 seconds. So the first 2 years out of 7 seconds, and then it was
Did they try to pick up your education, give you education courses, particularly with possibly promotion in mind?
Not really. There wasn't anything special. I think NCO and I were started out in Mexico, the Northland School, for whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know what I've ever been doing, but probably a bit smarter than anybody else. I couldn't exactly say. It was more special training for NCOs. It was just normal training for everybody, and that's somebody who's been away with, I don't know, maybe a lunch for or something like that. But these things happened in the first year, really.
Any other memories of Willington?
I don't know.
Yes, are there any other memories that we haven't touched upon?
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
What, in what context do you remember him?
Well, because I was later on in India. must face some of the problem now. What an agreement is person. I think these people want to have a key up there, want to have a word. And then it's talking about the money. Sometimes you met some target who did not quite well later on. It's given a different breed. I don't know whether these are all regular children or children who have only taken a year or two or get broken. Because one of the old people were from the south. Some reason or other, which I thought was unusual in the island. The bad ones seem to take the good ones. You find this man taking a certain couple of far as good we do. As far as we're concerned, I think you have the impression that we can the conflict on national stage, whatever we do. Let's give them a good rule of the world.
Possibly to break away from any home influences, to end that home influence and put you into an entirely different one where you're being trained to kill and be killed. Partly to break away from the upbringing as a civilian, and to change that entirely.
Yes. You think about a good weapon to a significant civilian. And that we being a joint of our own accord, and we have sort of been exactly. And so, here's the world that you work with, and what the world is. I think there's a little bit of animosity between the regular school there and the right to be pushed forward. That's a chart. I think in the initial training stages, it was there. And for some reason, later, they realized that the lads that were coming in were just fixed what they thought they were. There was a lot more intelligent than what we actually were. And this didn't go down very well. Because, if they told me something and said, well, the way that the government would use tools to hit them, they would ask you to do exactly what they said. And if you told them to answer the question, you were a big head. If you didn't know the answer, you were a thick head. So there was sort of no way you could do it at the time.
Did you make friends, close friends at Willington?
Oh, yes. Well, especially the last that I've done with it. I can't even hear the one that we choose to attend. That's called the new term. Liz Ludwig. We're in the Swedish world. Which, by the way, was in the Swedish world. I kind of wasn't on the day after it was in the Swedish world at the moment. And we were friends and we went, fuck, he said I was still inside the air. And we went in as a private and we came out as a private. He went to the second training with me. The other lads that I was friendly with, after the Lincoln, I think it was the time, it was a 50-year there. One of them went there. He was taught at the end of the training, you were assessed. On any time, you know, what probably you were assessed, because he would read a name out and say, so, we were going to the signal, at Branstad or somewhere. So, you were going to the carrier. You were being promoted to Lansford. It's just before we moved over to Branstad. And we should have done, but Bill and I, we must have been pretty quick on because we were really doing anything. But last year, we went on our team together. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had a which is in the 12th. But we're happy to have a 12th. I mean, we have lots of comments made on the window, and we're lucky to give us on this week. But all in all, I mean, our own making a difference is to spend a short time on it.
Do you remember any of the officers at Wellington, or did you come in contact with them very often?
No, we never came in contact very much with them. The only time we saw them was really on the morning parade, everybody gathered. We were expected to see them with others here. I think it was a bit of a challenge in the January morning getting up before the water like a moment. But to be honest, I don't think I was going very many whiskers then. I used to have what they call a bump for the moment. But a few more had to get the real work and kind of here. And having more equipment, we never used to take rifles, we used to have them for the uniform that we got. And gradually, you can see the uniforms, I think people are getting them all bigger. See, you know, they were beginning to fit by the time of being in a few weeks. And gradually, the players charmed them a little bit. The officers were starting to be seen. The only time you saw an officer, you could just put on a fist or a chart or whatever it's called. That was the only time you see an.
You moved to New Brunswick, I think you said, after about, 6 to 8 weeks?
I think it was after about 6 weeks, something like that. We moved to New Brunswick. And there, it was a atmosphere over there. It was another church that we were in. And there was a Methodist church. It stood on the east side of New Brunswick. And there were two. Peace Watch in New Brunswick, I remember that. One of the city old school, not the one that I know all was. We were in a old church. The sergeant, as I said before, there was a sergeant in the road with a Tony Irons board with a gentleman. We were there, we still there, a corporal. Oh, some of it was O'Neill, Peggy O'Neill, that's sorry, I'll get that. The corporal was a corporal to Gerald. Both Irish, with a 50-year-old Irish boy, I suppose, the middle of the country. There were different, and there were different times altogether. And we had French tables and grill, things, we had also a best in the building. They were helpful. If you had a problem, you could go and ask them. There were two of the best NCOs that I met, and I think I learned more from them than ever I learned from the time of women. Although there again, I missed about 2 weeks a month. We have, I think, 46 weeks in and out. I missed about 2 weeks because, as I said, I'm a great sport. I used to play on a Saturday morning when we were about to go home. But there was a football table there, looking over, towel on, and one of them said, and of course, I got up the mat, seeing the way the football team was short. But I'm still looking at the Army football team. People used to come over and ask me, what are you doing on Saturday morning? Well, I'm going home, where would you like to be on football? Well, that was like, good to me, if you see a game of football, I probably got 2 kilos to play. Which took the next decision. And I was the world team. And I was playing this game on pushing more football, World Cup football, growing up. I mean, when it was trying to tackle, I think foot on one of the white posts on the edge of the football field. Never thought anything to, but And what happened to the old year, probably the old year, the cost of that. This is a Browning, and when I took me the football boots off, the tall club, Corporal Pitt Wells, who was on the subject of their football, with it, they look at it, you know, they did it, they took me to them all, and I had to have me big show near the remote. And that was my first experience. I forget what the call was known. Tempting Ben Dunn, not number six. I missed it about the 4 days of career. I used to go all the way to the Tiger, the Brentwood, the Walker, the only challenge with the group. We had started our own every day. Well, how about that? Practice protecting. The composition of the statue of the corporal and the last corporal and the fire is there again in the morning. And I just started going out and doing the exercise, how to utilize the curriculum thing. I missed a lot of that. But anyhow, the tour was back after about the 4 days and I was back on that train again. It wasn't even a classic, but let's put it out.
How is a section constituted?
Section would be corporal, full corporal, lance corporal, then number one, number two. Section would be about 9 to 10 men.
And the rest would be riflemen.
Rest would be riflemen, yeah.
Did you carry Bren gun ammunition for the Bren gun as a rifleman?
No. I mean, one number two to carry the magazine.
But you didn't carry them yourself in those big pouches that you were
using. As I said before, you couldn't even practice.
But again, you're basically getting to know your weapons even more by.
Right, Mr. Biker's down on the door. Like I said, I'll get the most you have to carry. The most peculiar sort of behavior. It's known as Spidey Evans. And he used to ride, as Christian Miller was about, a couple of miles away. He used to ride a little two-stroke motorbike. So when you heard the put, 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 and you knew that Spidey Evans was on his way. And we went from New Brunswick to Woodburn to do our first firing of rifles. And of course, we still didn't have test matches. So this very starting area was 50 gas masks. We had to fire 5 rounds with a test mask on. And the clear of the thing was, my very great mistake. That none of you fellows will get this started. Yeah? Well, anybody that has ever worn a civilian dress on, as soon as you put on, sleeves up. Of course, if you ever wear army issue mask, you get a little feel of the word being a fellow, you'll be looking at it. And you can see, well, when you have a civilian one, when you get on the screen at the front, the first time you breathe when you lay down, it couldn't take 10 pounds. The grass, about 10 or 15 yards, it's a fire rate to do it by round drawing. Well, anyway, it's the target, and then, well, I was one of the past, I can't see better. Jesus that I was blessed and I saw Christ say, could you see the future? And if that dream dawned on them with that, this peculiar customer could say, no. So that was the time after about 3 hours, because the realms were only given about 10 or 15 hours away from where I was actually fired. And he was. He was one of these fighters, because I know his name, because after all the he used to come up with a new, he would say, oh, I can't even remember one of it. I remember a bit like Dad's army. He said that things were wrong, and he would come up with these remarks. That maybe it needs to be in the land. If you have spoken to your life, you know your life.
He had quite a reputation. I think he went abroad with one of the other battalions later on as an RSM.
Yeah.
And even those people, quite a reputation.
Because he can't be fired. He hasn't been to me, but I've seen it done with other fighters. But he got embarrassed here. He crumpled over the table. And there's nothing worse than being embarrassed in front of your mates at all, because later on, these things will get brought up to my son with Tim Thorpe, and that's been a bit of an embarrassment.
What else were you doing at Brandsmouth? You've mentioned you did your first squad training, section training. How did they teach you fire and movement? What kind of program did you have to go through? Use of ground and all this that you mentioned.
Well, out in the woods, and we were told how to crawl, how to get in the reach. We were also told how to use hand grenades, because what we used to be able to get the stones, which were supposed to be able to get away from hand grenades, get the main rock and stick the hand grenades at both edges. So that's kind of weird.
But at this stage, you didn't have hand grenades that you, I think,
no,
you said.
No. We had a dummy one, but we all used to go out and have a practice of throwing them.
What was the throwing technique for hand grenades?
Hand grenades? Well, being left-handed myself, the right arm is to point the direction of the target, lean back, grenade in the left hand, and the arm over. With a 10-second fuse, the 1-4 second fuse, the 40 degrees, which we learned about the fragmentation area of the arm grenade. We learned how to get down once the arm grenade is being thrown. We learned how to hold on to the arm grenade in 7 seconds. By counting, you know, 2, 1, 3, 4, 5, 10. And after 2 or 6 minutes, it was really the end of my career. I went once to leave my job. Just get down and bury your head in the ground somewhere, or else you didn't have any head on the next morning. Apart from that, that was it. And
the throwing action was not unlike a bowling at cricket, wasn't it? With the wheel action, the wheel.
I'm all around to all the people.